exciting.
It's PDGA Radio from Appling, Georgia, at the International Disc Golf Center, where we have just wrapped up the inaugural Champions Cup. It's Grant Zellner and Jennifer Allen. We're standing on the back porch watching the weather that held off all weekend come in. This show is going to be all about the conversations that we've gotten to have with several very, very special individuals. First up is going to be Wilbur Wallace. We dedicated a bench to his parents, old man and mom Wallace. Jennifer, you've been around long enough that you know directly the impact that they had on the game of disc golf.
Besides being just incredible people in this world, but to disc golf, they're very special. So it was an honor to have him on the show.
And after that, thanks to a lot of initiative from Jennifer grabbing her peers, we got an exclusive interview with both champions, Chris Dickerson and Paige Pierce. We got to talk to them right after the awards ceremony, got a few minutes with each, tried to get a little bit, you know, deeper into the lives of touring pros as they have such an important victory as a major victory. Got to sneak away here at the IDGC with each of them for a couple of minutes. I think that's going to be a real treat as part of this episode of PDGA Radio.
So let's get right into this show.
Here at the IDGC in Appling, Georgia, Jennifer and I have managed to sneak away into a side office, literally, so that we could grab a couple of minutes with Wilbur Wallace. Now, for those that weren't able to watch over the weekend and see all of the ceremony, very important couple to the history of disc golf are old man and mom Wallace, which happens to be Wilbur's parents. We dedicated a bench in memory and honor of old man and mom, who was able to be part of the ceremony and are the backbone of a huge swath of disc golf history. So we had to steal a few minutes with Wilbur, happens to be a board member as well here at the PDGA. So Wilbur, thanks for sneaking away with us for a few minutes. We'll get you back out to all of your fandom here in just a bit.
Well, thanks for having me.
So we just want to get a chance, since everybody probably has been able to follow up on just a little bit of the overall story of old man and mom, we thought it'd be fun to try to just ask you to share a couple of stories. So let's start with the story, as I understand it, of you getting old man into the game of disc golf in what, the 80s? The early 90s?
Yeah, I started, first time I threw at baskets was 86 at Bradley Park in Peoria, Illinois. Home of Ledgestone now, so That's kind of where everything got the start. One of those friends just said, hey, let's go play golf. What the heck are you talking about? And just bring Frisbees, you'll love it. Okay, fine. I've been playing with Frisbees since I was like six. I met him down at Bradley Park, which happened to be, the park was a block away from where I grew up, where old man and mom lived. I got married, moved away, but still was in town. All right, fine. Brought a couple of discs. I met him down there. I don't know what hole it was, but somewhere in the front nine, it just clicked. This is something that I'm going to do for the rest of my life. In fact, I went home and I told my wife that. I hope you like it too, because I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And like everybody else, especially back, what are you talking about? I had to explain the game. Took her out that afternoon to show her. So I played my first day ever. I played two rounds.
Were you even playing with disc golf discs?
Oh no! I had a regular Whammo frisbee. That's what I started with, and then after a couple of weeks, I happened to see a couple of other players out on the course, and they had multiple discs. So then I had my master, my regular, my super pro. Yeah, I was playing with a whole set of discs. Well, frisbees at that time.
Yeah.
I didn't know what they were throwing. Yeah, it was two or three years later when I first actually bought my first golf disc. And pretty like everybody else that, you know, throws frisbees, and the first time they try to throw a golf disc, it went 20 feet, you know. And I'm like, how can these guys throw it so far? No, just keep doing it. You'll get it. But even before I had a golf disc, I loved the game.
Here's a random question. How much did you pay for your first disc golf disc? Do you remember? Ballpark?
Probably $5.
$5, all right.
It was a lightning disc, if that, you know.
Isn't it incredible how quickly this game makes you fall in love.
Oh, it's
instant.
It's immediate.
It's an instant.
It was, yeah, like somewhere in the front nine, it just went, wow, this is great.
And no matter how frustrated we get on the course, it makes the love deeper.
I'm never going to play this game again. It's terrible. It sucks. What time's our tea tomorrow?
I know. Let's go back.
Well, Jennifer, you've talked about that before. There's something about a disc in flight that's reminiscent of like a paper airplane flight. Or, you know, there's something about it that's different from throwing a ball, which is great. I mean, a nice tight football spiral is beautiful. But there's something about a disc being able to bank and ride the wind.
Yeah, it's changing the angle. Like what we do to that disc,
it's amazing,
create something. It's almost like, you know,
you're an artist.
An artist, or planting a garden or whatever to watch something grow. Like it's a ball, baseball, football, basketball, it kind of does one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but a frisbee, we're in control.
You can make it a shot down that fairway and just fade out right when you need it to. Yeah. And hopefully,
and sometimes not chains, like, but you want it to.
Yeah, that happens too. But then that brings in another part of the game, the scrambling, which the more shots that you know, the better your overall game's.
Well,
why do you practice that? Because that one time I needed it.
So when did you grab old man? When did mom step out onto a course?
Old man always loved hiking through Bradley Park.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where. My grandfather built the house that I grew up in. So my dad was always there, you know.
Wow.
From when he was young. So it was right across the street. It was a block away.
Mm-hmm.
So you could tell me a tree and I could tell you where it's at in that park if you describe a tree to me. I just knew that park so well. So it's like, hey, I'm going to go play golf. You know, what? No, come with me. After it was a bit. Yeah, fine. I'm not playing. I'll walk with you. I know that park well. And old man knew the park well just from growing up there forever. So I was going to go out and play around and, hey, come with me. No, I'm not going to play. Well, no, just walk. All right, fine. I'll walk with you. And he did that. And, oh, yeah, that's fine. I enjoy the walk.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. I see what the disc is doing. That's cool. I enjoyed the walk.
He loved nature.
Oh, yeah. He was into spelunking, you know, checking out caves, all that fun stuff. That's just the way he was out in nature. Walking around in nature was probably between that and NASCAR. It's the things he liked the best. So I got him out walking around the course, and say he knew the park anyway. Then one year I thought I'm going to be crazy. I bought him a disc for his birthday, and his birthday was in January.
Took a risk.
Not a great time of year.
No, but I made him go out and play.
That's great.
And he's like, you know, this isn't that bad. So he'd come out and play occasionally. And then we had a tournament in Peoria, and we'll come and walk with me. No, I'm not going to caddy. No, you don't have to caddy. Just walk. That's fine. So he's like, you know what? That was pretty fun. So he started coming to tournaments a little bit here and there. I mean, back then, there weren't that many tournaments anyway.
40 people playing.
Oh, if you were lucky. And you just get there the morning of and sign up. There was no internet then.
There was no pre-registration. Nope.
This was early 90s at the latest.
Even late 90s.
Yeah.
Late 90s, early 2000. You didn't know your competition until you sat there and signed in that morning. Yeah.
So, that's the way it was around Illinois/the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Where is the tournament this weekend?
Yeah.
So that's where everybody would be that played disc golf.
State to state.
It was nothing for me to get up at 2:00 in the morning, drive 5 or 6 hours from Peoria to go to Sheboygan, Wisconsin, because Barry Schultz was running that tournament. Like, Barry Schultz doesn't run tournaments. Well, he did. Yeah.
And you went to it.
Because that was the only tournament around.
Yeah.
So everybody from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, everybody was there. And like you said, there's 40 or 50 people on a good day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd play 2 rounds of golf, and then you'd drive the 5 or 6 hours home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you did. And me and my wife and my daughter, when she was 2-3 years old, we made it a family affair.
Nice.
Jen, the daughter, didn't like it that much at the time, but she loves it now.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, because, you know, like we said, we instantly fall in love with the game, and we play it, you know, tournament to tournament. But I know so many people that I've met casually that literally play it because, like you said, love nature, love to get outside, healthy, walking. They don't care what they made on the score. They just kind of toss it in front of them, walk through the park, And that's disc golf to them. It doesn't have to be tournament play. Mm-hmm. It's just getting outside, enjoying nature, and getting some exercise. That's all disc golf can be to some people.
I design courses at one of the little bitty, teeny tiny courses in Manitou, Illinois, that my first thought was, you can't put a course in this park. It's way too small. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not going to be that many people playing anyway. Yep. So fine. I put a course in. It was small. It was short. I went back a few weeks after it was installed, and there's people out playing the course. First of all, as a designer, you're going, yes, people are playing my course. Woo! Yeah, no matter what level of course it is, you want to see people playing it. And there was a group of three people. It was grandma and a grandson and a granddaughter.
Aww.
What other sport can you do that?
Exactly.
You know, you're not going to see grandma out playing football with her grandson, but disc golf. And they were competitive. In fact, the youngest one, the boy, is going, I'm ahead by one stroke. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's what disc golf is. It's a lifetime sport. It's relatively cheap to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can spend a lot of money. Some of us do. We won't talk about my 600 discs I have.
Why are you looking at me?
Yeah. But yeah, it's and old man latched onto that part of it right away, just the out in the nature and having mm-hmm. fun. Even if he didn't throw that well, no, he was terrible. He was bad. And he knew it. But he would enter tournaments anyway just to learn that tournament type of life.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we went to a tournament that wasn't run very well. Okay, it was bad.
All right.
It was not.
I can do this better.
And that's what it was. It's exactly what it was. We on the drive home, it's like, it looked bad.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this better. What does it take for us to do this better? So, well, to run a, you know, of course, if you're going to run a tournament, you want to run a sanctioned event. That's what all there was back then, really, you know.
There wasn't anything but that.
Yeah, so, you know, I was thinking about joining the PDGA anyway. This was late 91, early 92. So it's like, oh, we started looking into what we need to do to run tournaments. Well, the first thing you need to do is be PDGA members to become an official.
All right.
So, okay. I guess we're going to have to become PDGA members now. So I don't remember exactly when it was, but I call up my dad. I'm like, dude, I just sent in for my PDGA membership. He goes, great. I just did that 2 days ago.
Oh.
So his number was 6580. Mine is 6583.
He beat
So he has a lower PDGA number than I do.
That's awesome.
But only by three.
That's
which
a
in that
tribute.
Place, you know, that was 3 days. Now it would be an hour.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, and so we're the membership, and we're just so exploding now. But
right.
Yeah. So he's 3 digits lower than me. So we started or continued going to tournaments, and a lot of times back then I would play in whatever division, advanced. Sometimes once I. And it got a little better. And he would play the age protection divisions. Mm-hmm. And usually, like, I would play on Saturday, and his division would play on Sunday. Worked out perfect. We'd just get a hotel or stay at a friend's house. He'd play one day. I'd play the other day. We would both assist the tournament director on the opposite days. And, you know, to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, when we first started offering to do that, the tournament directors are like, you want to do what?
Volunteer?
Yeah, exactly.
What's that?
We want to help you. With what? I don't know. What do you need help with?
Yeah.
Well, what are you talking about? I don't even know you guys. It's like, well, we want to run tournaments, and we figured that's the best way is to go to a tournament and learn from the tournament director. So we started doing that, and we met some really cool tournament directors back then. And the three people that we learned the most from are all PDGA Hall of Famers.
Aw.
Wow.
Yeah. Gary Lewis
mm-hmm.
from Illinois, Duster Don Hoffman from up in Wisconsin, and Brian Cummings from Indiana.
Wow.
And in fact, it was Brian Cummings that gave Old Man his nickname.
Oh, cool.
We were both playing at a tournament up there in Northwest Indiana. I can't even remember what tournament it was. Might have been, I don't know, Oak Brook or something up there in Illinois or Indiana, right in the border. And both of our names are actually William. So we both went by Bill, and they're calling out, okay, hole number four, Bill Wallace. And we both go, which one? And Brian screams out, the old man.
Aw.
Boom. Now he's got a nickname. And I have always went with, you know, started going by my nickname Wilbur that I got back in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
That's an entirely different story. But so it's like we just became known as Old Man and Wilbur. And for years, a lot of people did not even know we were related.
Oh. Wow.
We would go to events. It's like, oh, yeah, there's a guy. That's weird. He's got the same last name as you do. I'm like, there's a good reason for that. I've known you for how many long or years, and I didn't know that you guys were even related. So, yeah, we started doing that. And then when we started running bigger events in Peoria, mainly the Peoria Open, which, I don't know, 93, 94, something like that, started. It, you know, it was just Bradley Park. Boom, run a tournament mm-hmm. there. Right. Bradley Park. It was, that was, back then, that was like, there was also a 9-hole course in the area. But Bradley Park was the only 18-hole course, so that's where you ran a tournament. We started building other courses with the Peoria Frisbee Club, which Old Man was on the board of their board for years. I was the president for over 10 years of that. Mom was on the board for a while. Dad pretty much was almost always the treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
He was just always good at numbers, so mm-hmm. I'll be treasurer. Okay, fine.
That's an easy job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Mom's out here by now, too. She's
Mom is just still kind of on the fringes a little bit.
Okay.
Hanging back,
going, yeah, well, you guys go do what you want to do. That's fine. So when we started getting a bigger tournament, when we expanded it to multiple courses and started getting in more players from out of town, we had to have an official check-in someplace rather than one course. Boom. You've got to have a couple of people helping, even if it's at each course. Mom, we need help. What do you want me to do? All you do is ask them their name and check them off. Oh, I can do that. Well, yeah, that's why we want you to do it, you know. And so that's what brought Mom into it. And Mom, she just won't shut up. Talk. That's just Mom. And her and Dad were both the same way. So as people are coming in, hi, how you doing? Where are you from? Great. Mom, we told you just to ask them their name. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm talking to him. So she started getting to know the players. The players started getting to know her. And so that's how it started out, with just bringing Mom in. Just check the names off. That's all we want you to do. Check it off. You don't know the game. It's fine. And she did that. And then it's like, well, I can do a little more. And she does a little more here and there, and did a little more here and there. And then she surprised us one day and said, I'm now a PDGA member.
Aww.
She surprised you.
We didn't know it.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's great, Mom. Even better, I'm now an official.
Uh-huh. She's ready.
She was ready.
She's fully committed.
She was ready. So she was a course official at some of our events. I'd be at one course. Dad would be at a second course. She'd be at a third course. So, and of course, you know, somewhere in there, my brother Chuck, I got him playing soon. And oh, yeah, sure, I can help with tournaments. So
it became a big family affair.
Oh, it was huge. It was huge. Any family function we'd go to, we'd always, you know, bring, even if we didn't have a basket, we'd be throwing putters back and forth. What are you guys doing? Playing Frisbee? That's not like a Frisbee ever. Okay, let me explain the game to you.
Uh-huh. So.
Became a big family affair and bigger tournaments. How did Team Wallace get into running the U.S. Women's Disc Golf?
After we started getting the Peoria Open, and then later it became the Greater Peoria Open, because we weren't just in Peoria anymore. We were using McNaughton Park and Beacon was our new premier course. Mm-hmm. Which at that time, a lot of the pros said it was like a top five course. Mm-hmm. It's still one of my favorites. It's in my top 10 easily, and I've played almost 400 courses now.
Okay.
So it's just, it's a phenomenal course. So we ran the Greater Peoria Open, which was the first A-tier ever in Illinois. We had, one year we had $10,000 guaranteed total purse, and it brought everybody.
Everybody.
I mean, Climo, Ron Russell, they had an epic playoff at McNaughton.
Nice.
Like a 4-hole playoff for first, it was for those two guys. Yeah, I mean, everybody would come here.
Yeah.
Because, well, it's a super tour.
Yeah. It's a super tour. Yeah.
You know, so it was just part of the tour. So everybody would come here. We got some decent sponsors, just local stuff. Nothing huge like Bushnell or Johnsonville or anything like that now, which is great that they're on board. But yeah, we had the Peoria Open. We're all running it, along with many other Peoria Frisbee Club members and friends and stuff. You can't run big tournaments without a good staff. That's just first and foremost. No, that's all you can do. A lot of players don't understand that, and that's too bad. Just let them run one tournament.
Yeah.
That's all.
With no help. With no help.
Yeah. And that's all I want you to do, just run one. I don't want you to do it just one once.
Sometimes
so
even can... just a league will give them yes. a good taste of
it. Yes. Just to go, wait, you guys are doing all this stuff? Mm-hmm. No, we're doing all that stuff for a year.
Yeah.
You know, you're planning a big tournament for a year. So we're running the Peoria Open, and of course it's a super tour, so that's taking note. I mean, the PDGA is sending officials with it. It's, you know, hey, Terry Miller, come on down. You know, oh, cool. So the women's United States Disc Golf Women's Championship, or Women's Disc Golf Champion, I'll get it right.
All the words are there.
We got Women's Nationals is what we just called it. Women's Nationals is what we always called it. PDGA called us up, called old man up, and went, well, they're running it out at Winthrop with the USDGC, and the Innova people, Harold and Jonathan and all of them, they're like, they understood that the women were not getting the attention. Mm-hmm. So they wanted, we're totally fine breaking the women out and letting them have their own tournament. And this was kind of like a spur of the moment thing. So Innova called up old man and said, all right, we need somebody to run Women's Nationals this year. Do you want to do it?
Wow.
Okay.
What a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Okay. So we ran, I think that was 2000, 2001 mm-hmm. That was the first one we ran. And it was amazing. We had so many women players. We had over 40. Over 40 women. That was like...
All at the same place.
All at the same place. All in one pool.
And I will go ahead and throw in there, why we're joking and laughing about that is I would literally have to leave the state of Oklahoma sometimes to find another pro woman
exactly.
to play
with.
I had mm-hmm. to go to Texas to play with Paige, you know? And so we're joking because... There was only usually a few open women or in the any tournament. So.
And when I say there was over 40 women, that's every women's division. We did not put any restriction.
Right.
That's
there was no
all,
caps.
All open, all female, age protected, all the juniors, every amateur division we have. What is that? You know, 142 divisions now?
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. So we just went, no, women, if you're
in
female.
The area.
You can play.
You're in.
And we got people from all over the country.
Yeah.
Because it was Women's Nationals. You have to. And that's, of course, how I met so many of the great people and women in our sport.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine and later Paige, Juliana and Des.
Val.
Oh, God. Yeah. The whole Jenkins family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Suzette Simons from out in California mm-hmm. would come every year, you yeah. know. So we were, you know, it's like, okay, it was successful with our 40 plus women. And so the PDGA went, yeah, that was pretty good. You want to do it again?
Wow.
Okay, we'll do it again.
That's a compliment, too.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we'll just keep doing it as long as you want us to do it, I guess. Uh-huh. And they went, okay, we were thinking about putting this up for bids like they do all the other majors, you know. And the PDGA, you know, they decided that, no, we're good. So we ran it for, I think, 7 consecutive years in Peoria.
7 consecutive years.
Which isn't bad because it's pretty centrally located.
Right, exactly. When it started branching out a bit, some of the ladies complained, oh, it's on the West Coast. I can't make it there. Well, it's on the East mm-hmm. Coast. I can't make it there. The Midwest seems to work good for, mm-hmm. especially the women.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of mothers that have difficulty leaving the, you know, the kids at home.
Yes.
But it was every year we grew it a little bit more, a little bit more. When we had to break it up into two different pools, oh my God, this is such a huge success. But that was also a problem. Part of the Women's Nationals that we wanted to run, it was like a family type get together.
Right.
Like almost a party.
So. All the tournaments used to be.
But then we had to split it up into different pools. So the amateur women didn't see the pro women as much. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, we got to do functions in the evening. And one of those functions always seemed to be like a big bonfire, old man's backyard. Didn't bring what you want. We got grills there. If you want to grill out food, order pizza in, whatever. And there were some times that the neighbors were upset because we were going on way too long. Way too loud. Yeah. Well, you know how some of the women's tournaments are, Jen.
No, we're so good and quiet.
Oh, yeah. No, it was so much fun. But we met some of the best people that way. Still great friends with so many of the lady players now.
Yeah, it's a family community. That's the other side of the sport that we love so much, is how close it brings us to strangers.
So yeah, we did women's for a while, and then old man decided he didn't want to work anymore. He took retirement from his real job as soon as he possibly could. So one of the things they like about disc golf, it let him travel the country. So therefore, I'm going to travel the country more.
Nice.
And that's when they really started. They would just show up at a tournament and go, what do you guys need help with? And this could be 5-6 states away. It's like, why didn't you tell us you were coming? We didn't know we'd be here. We were just driving until we didn't want to drive.
Took a left at Albuquerque.
Exactly. Exactly. So they would show up at tournaments and do that. But of course, with them traveling so much, old man wasn't sitting at home. He couldn't play in tournaments.
Yeah.
So he's like, sorry, PDJ, I'm giving this up. I can't run women's nationals anymore. So that's when they put it up for bids to go around wherever.
Right.
Hopefully, you know, some of these majors will go into different countries soon. Obviously, United States Women's Disc Golf Championship.
I think we're stuck here.
We're stuck here, which is fine.
Yeah.
But they started putting it out for bids. And then in 2014, Mike Downs called up. Good old Mike. We love Mike.
Yep.
He calls up and says, hey, old man, we want you to run women's again. He's like, there is no way I can do it. I'm traveling too much. I don't have any of my contacts anymore in Peoria. He's like, oh, no, we don't want you to run in Peoria. We want you to run here at the IDGC.
Oh.
So he's like, and he's like, the staff here will take care of all the preliminary work. You don't worry about that. You show up and run a tournament. So that's what he did. And that's kind of where the hashtag Team Wallace started.
Right.
It was me and Mom, my brother and myself, you know, we came down and ran the tournament here, and we all had matching shirts that just said Wallace on the back. So it's like, yeah, we're Team Wallace now.
Nice.
And then when old man started getting ill, it was, let's encourage people to post pictures out on Facebook and stuff. And hey, use that hashtag Team Wallace, and they'll all be in one place, no matter where you post it from.
Forever.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where the Team Wallace kind of came from, was that. So, yeah, it was fun. We look at it as a big family affair. My granddaughter, Mackenzie, I'm gonna say she is the first fourth-generation PDGA member. No one has ever been able to disprove that. Vic Allen, the membership manager, he's like, gee, I don't know. I think you're right. But
there might be one or two out there.
With different last names, you don't know for sure.
Right, of course.
But yeah, the day she was born, I got her PDGA number. So, and my daughter, of course, was a PDGA member, helping us out at tournaments. You know, even though my daughter and my wife, both of them are PDGA members, but they never played.
That's okay. Right.
Which is, that's why I'm a supporter of, we need a different level of membership. We need a supporting level, if you want to call it. I don't know what the exact term should be. And just for those people, like my mother never played an event. My wife doesn't play tournaments, but they both want to be a part of this.
Right.
Why should they have to pay the same thing that players pay?
Yeah.
How about half price?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that way they can be an official. And if they decide they want to play a tournament, they can pay that $10 extra fee like everybody else. I have no problem with that.
Sure.
This is your supporting membership. You get X number of benefits for that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a player, then it'll cost you this.
Right.
I'm all for that. Have a supporting membership. So.
Man, if only knew a board member.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That'll come up. That might come up at the summit next month.
All right. So. Well.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I'm all for a supporting membership.
Yeah.
And like I say, if you want to become a player, then that's fine.
Maybe we should call that membership, call it Getting a Wallace.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
Or Being a Wallace.
Being a Wallace. There, we'll take more membership. People. We will take more people, for sure.
I like it. Well, Wilbur, I mean, there's not going to be a stopping point to this conversation, because there's story after story. There's story involving old man and mom that happened off the disc golf course, on the road between the disc golf courses.
And I probably don't even know half of those.
You might not know half of them, and some of them they might not want you to know. I'm just saying.
We don't want to see videos of my mother's 50th birthday
party. I've got secrets from my kids. They're probably going to have secrets from their kids,
even if
their kids are So anyway, given the fact that we don't have a good stopping point, given the fact that we're still here at the Champions Cup with so much going on and so much to do, players are still out on the course, what we're going to do right now, we're not going to say this is over. We're going to call a timeout.
I like that.
At this point, because there is no way Jennifer and I aren't going to get you again. we're gonna snag you at another event. Because like
I'll
you
be
said, Team Wallace is around.
I bet you'll be at Masters Worlds
I would
year.
Think so. Yeah, I'm running a course though.
I
yeah.
think that would be a great time.
Yeah. So no doubt about it, the B-side of this recording will happen, and it will happen soon. So let's call this an epic teaser, and let's just end it right now. So
sounds like a plan.
All right. So,
I'm a music guy, so I love the B-side reference. That's
all
sweet.
Right. Hey, all right. Making friends cool. And influencing people. All right, so Wilbur, we will see you soon.
All right, thanks for having me. It's a great time.
With Paige Pierce now the inaugural champion of the Champions Cup here at the W.R. Jackson course at the International Disc Golf Center. I got to say all of that because it really is hallowed ground around here. You've had several hours since your tournament wrapped up. Have you recovered yet? Has it sunk in?
You know, four rounds at the Jacksons, a lot of walking, a lot of uphill, downhill, lots of power shots through the woods. So yeah, my body's definitely tired. I'm ready for an off day. I actually got to go get my booster shot tomorrow so I can get to European Open. Mm-hmm. I just found out that you have to get the booster. You have to be fully vaccinated. So I got to go get the booster. So I'm glad to have an off day.
It's yeah. like kindergarten. I need my booster shot.
Exactly. Yep. You got to have everything so done. So, Paige, this is 17. I hear there's a little side bet. How quick do you think you could get to 20?
Well, I know. So to get to 20 majors, I mean, obviously I need at least three more chances, which is possible this
yes.
year. Mm-hmm. And I think I definitely have the upper edge now because I got one over Paul.
Right.
And he's not going to European Open.
Oh.
So I could get
you could wrap it up this
18
year.
18 at European Open. And then I would be two ahead of him and I could just kind of be like pressure free, right?
Is that going to push you to win more? I mean, not like you don't have the drive to win any major, but that kind of pushes you a little bit more and you love that extra.
Yeah, it's fun to have a new goal to work for, especially yeah. this deep in my career. I've had so many goals and then accomplished those goals. So to find new goals keeps me motivated. And definitely this one, I would say even more so than most mm-hmm. because to my sponsor Discraft, to the general public, it's like, hey,
and
women are in the talks
right.
too.
And
know?
These are two goats we're talking about.
Right.
So which goat can make it there first?
Right. And maybe surpass the
Absolutely.
Initial goat. So yeah, for me, it's a big deal, especially with Discraft, because I can say, hey, maybe he gets more viewers on his right. videos because he's on Jomez.
Right.
But
I did.
I have
first.
More titles. I have yeah. this. I have yeah. this. So, you know, that's a big deal for myself individually, but also for women's disc golf saying like, hey, you know, we can beat our male counterparts' records
yes.
and hopefully blow them out of the water one day.
Hopefully so. You have a few new friends in here with us.
Yes.
Why don't you, I mean, this is audio only, but why don't you explain who all's in the room with us right now?
They're being so good we can't hear them, which shocks me.
Well, Alyssa is here and she came to the event because it's only 6 hours from our spot.
Awesome.
So we actually just got our newest puppy. His name is Hilo, which is a city that we lived in for 3 months mm-hmm. This last
Hilo.
Off season. And we're fostering him and she almost actually didn't come because we just got him maybe what 4 days before.
Oh wow.
But before
he's done
left,
so good.
I think it was his third day of us having him before she left home. So
wow.
I was like, man, I'm gonna miss our first like weeks with them because
yeah.
I'm going straight to Jonesboro and then to
yeah there's a busy
GDO.
Stretch going up.
Yeah, yeah, so I wanted to spend the week with them. And so Alyssa, you know, canceled her pottery classes and all the other stuff that goes with home. Now finally having a home base and obviously our love, Torben. He was our first puppy and we actually just got him like
it
around
seems
Christmas.
He was
like
your
it.
First by not very long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I never had a puppy growing up. I've always
yeah.
wanted a dog. And yeah, he's just the best companion. He's so sweet. And they're, yeah, you can't hear them because they're literally passed out.
I know, that's amazing. They were so excited outside.
She's been walking
them.
How many steps did you take? This week, 50,000 steps.
So that times four.
They're gonna sleep good on the way home.
Oh my God, they've been sleeping so good. And like we're introducing them to the water. So they're both starting to learn how to swim out here in these beautiful Georgia lakes. And
yeah, this property is so pretty.
Yeah.
Are they disc chasers?
No, Torben, he will only go after it if you throw sidearm rollers.
Interesting.
Or well, I don't know, maybe back in rollers too, but I've only done sidearm rollers. But which I'm actually getting pretty damn good at, I have to say, because of him. So yeah, you might see me bust it out in some future events, but yeah, I'm working on it with the puppy disc. And then Hilo, we've only taken him out for two rounds of disc golf so far, and he didn't go after the disc at all. He,
which is in them, so that's really
good. Missy has a healer as well, and yeah, so Hilo is a blue healer, and Torben is a mini Bernedoodle.
They're precious.
Yeah, they're so cute, and they're best friends. They spoon at night.
Oh, there it is.
Wanted to get involved.
Yeah. Hi. Paige, is there another event besides obviously winning some majors? Is there another tournament this year that you're really excited to get out to?
I am always excited for Worlds. You know, it's just the biggest stage that there is. You know, we talk about that all the time, but really, it, I mean, you can feel it in the air. It's something special. So, I mean, definitely, if you guys are listening, go buy some tickets online, spectator passes. It's
even centrally located this year.
Even if you've been to an event, a big event like Worlds is just like out of this
it's
world.
On another level, and then for sure.
Same, we always say that about Emporia in general,
right?
You know, that's a totally different experience for any golfer to go to Glassbone, DDO, whatever you want to call it. So I think I'm excited even just to feel another Worlds there with that, as much as the sport has grown since the last time. Like, it should be an incredible feeling this year.
And we're going to get a good vibe for that at DD Open. So, you know, there, it's kind of like a test event almost for Worlds. So, yeah, I'm excited for that one, too. And then, I mean, I love the course at Idlewild. It's so demanding and, you know, tight gaps, kind of like out here at the Jackson. And, yeah, I mean, I love them all. I'm just thinking about all of them, you know, basically.
I know coming down 18 was, you know, the pressure was on, the battle was tight all day long. Win or lose, it's going to be emotional on both sides, I think almost equally. You and Kristen, you know, you gave her a big hug. That was hard for you. You know, no one wants to see someone lose, but you were ready there for the win. That was emotional. And then you gave a pretty emotional speech about your dad. Do you want to go over any of that with the viewers that weren't here for that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a, I mean,
a lot of emotions.
I think I said out loud to my caddy, like, disc golf is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, okay, I need to make this eagle just to secure a playoff. And then I was like, oh man, I missed it. You know, kind of like, Kristen's probably going to make this putt, you know? Right. And then it rolls and I'm just like, oh, what is happening? And like, wow, I'm definitely going into a playoff. I'm like sitting there getting warmed up, ready. And then she misses that one too. So, I mean, yeah, it was not the way I wanted to win.
Right.
But I'm just proud of myself that I kept myself where I needed to be. You know, all you can do as a player is continue to give yourself opportunities. So I did just that coming down 18, and unfortunate circumstances.
Door was open.
Yeah. Unfortunate for Kristen, but I did what I needed to do to be there.
Yeah.
And so I'm proud of myself. It was just a weird moment too.
It was because a roller coaster. Like, just standing there.
I would want some like love and affection, and it's like, do I give that to her? Am I the one that's supposed to do that? But I felt so, I've been in her shoes 6 months ago at Worlds, so I felt that and just wanted her to at least know how much I appreciated that battle.
Like, yeah, and I was standing on 14th tee. For those of you guys who don't notice, 14 is between 1 and 18, and they're all kind of right here together. Silver had just teed off on 14. And so everyone tried to walk as slow as possible so he could either be there to see her win, unfortunately, but yet great, he was still there to comfort her after that. So that was really just kind of special that he was there so close.
Yeah,
so.
I was actually surprised that I saw Silver,
but
I didn't realize why. And then,
he was playing 14.
Yeah, so crazy. But I mean, as far as the stuff with my dad, it's like, and Alyssa told me I was maybe a little too harsh, but I don't want to single him out. It's more just like the lesson that he's taught
me.
Like, yes, it's come from my dad, but I love my dad.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't trade him for any other dad, you know, but he's definitely, we've had some arguments just in the recent past. about what success is. And, you know, Alyssa and I are talking about like how we want to parent yeah. a kid. And you as a mom, like yeah.
I was there tearing up with all of that, seeing Kristen's daughter yeah. right there. Then you talking yeah. about raising a kid, and I'm sitting yeah. there with my kids at home missing
yeah,
Easter.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was emotional.
Yeah, I'm not a mom yet, but you know, it's like I feel as though when what I've learned from my dad being hard on me is that a kid's definition of success is different than the parent's definition of success. So as a parent, I'm not trying to coach you how to parent, but for right. me, what I've learned is how I want to parent is to be there in the hard moments, be there for the support, be there with mm-hmm. as Silver or as Isabel, comforting right. her in her
right.
in her failures, if right. you will. But not just when they win.
And absolutely.
When they, you know, I don't want 50 texts when I win the tournament. I want a text after a hard round, like, hey, yeah. hang in there. Whatever, that is love, that is support. And so for me, I want to make sure I've been at, I mean, I think 5 junior world championships, and some of the parents out there,
it's rough.
You know, my blood starts boiling because I'm like, don't do that to your kid, please. Like, don't yell at them.
Any
don't.
Little league game, just go you to know, them and you're just like, oh my
yeah,
God.
Parents on the sideline that are more into it than their kid, just yeah. remember, like, if your kid's out there smiling, they're having fun, like, that's all that matters. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter if you have a trophy. It doesn't matter any of that. So, I mean, that's kind of what I just want to say. And also, if you're a kid out there and you're watching, you're listening to this, whatever your parent says, whatever they're, you know, not all parents are like my dad. So this is hard to like.
Yeah, it's hard to find the right words.
Condense it. But just remember, like, be strong enough to tell your parents what makes you happy. What makes you happy? Tell that to your parents and don't fight with them, but just say, hey, Dad, I really like painting. Do yeah. you think that I could paint? I don't want to be a doctor. Right. I don't want to be a lawyer. You know, we're in 2022 and yeah. there are so many ways you can be successful.
Communication.
So you don't have to win to be a winner.
And I don't know if there's anyone that I've actually played longer with sitting here thinking about it than you. Honestly, like Paige and I yeah. have played from the beginning. Seeing him push you, I will also defend him too. I'm saying that he, you know, the love is there. It's just mm-hmm. how to show it
yeah.
correctly.
Yeah.
Like, no one, I mean, your dad is your biggest fan and, the you know, loves you with all his mm-hmm. heart.
He does. Know? He definitely does.
So it is hard, but, and we all learn from mistakes mm-hmm. and we all do things differently. Mm-hmm. But I do, as a parent, say that's great advice and communication is hard from parent to child, but it is the most important thing.
I can only imagine. And like, I know the most common, just to like concisely make it too, is like the most common thing that a parent says is like, or at least in the movies, it's like, like, I want the world for my kid.
Yeah.
I mm. want my kid to succeed. I want this. And it's like, just take a step back and ask them what their definition of success is.
Like, or what they want.
What makes them happy.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, that's
great advice from someone who's not a parent. Yeah.
That's,
didn't know we were going
to
go so deep.
It's a good way to close that, though.
It's wonderful advice.
Yeah, because everyone, once they are a parent, is a first-time parent.
Yep.
And you're always a first-time, for that matter, you're a first-time kid.
First-time dog owner. You know?
Yep, there you go.
I'm learning all kinds of things.
Paige Pierce, one more time, the inaugural Champions Cup champion of 2022. Boy, I can't wait till the next one.
Me too.
Congratulations, Paige.
Thank you.
It wouldn't be the PDGA Radio podcast if we didn't find a way to get the winners of the inaugural Champions Cup on this week's show with Chris Dickerson, still wiping your brow, have mm-hmm. just stepped off of the course, have just accepted your trophy, which is beautiful. Are you going to drink a beverage out of that later on?
I was thinking maybe there was like a felt on the inside, but there's not.
So it's possible.
It
right. That'd be a great photo for your social media. You can thank me later. That's fantastic. Chris, you've already talked about just the thrill of winning and all of those kinds of things. So I want to dig into something a little bit deeper. How about the camaraderie that goes on tour? So many players are still outside right now. Mm-hmm. Some of them finished their rounds hours ago. And they're friends. You wouldn't take it personally if they had to get in their cars and hit somewhere. But the point is, they didn't.
Right.
They stayed just to watch you putt on 18. What does it feel like to be part of that kind of community?
It's a really good feeling. You know, like you touched on, disc golf is such a small community, such a tight-knit community. We're all friends on some level or another. And even if it wasn't me putting out for the win on 18, everybody would have still been around. And I know I would have too. It's a great community. It's a great feeling.
Has it soaked in yet that you've won your second major now?
A little bit. It's starting to. Yeah.
Is it difficult sometimes to shift into the type of competitive nature that you have to win something like a major when you're playing against so many people you consider friends?
It is. But there's a good balance between, being out on the course and not being in that competitive mode the entire time. Maybe just like, it doesn't have to be making jokes or anything like that. It can just be talking back and forth about even the shots, or something completely off topic. But yeah, having friends on the card, you can't let yourself get like too into it, or else you're going to start throwing some bad shots. And then you're like, you know, maybe I'm not as focused as I should be, but it's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of talk on the course about wanting it to come back here every year. Mm-hmm. How would that be to come back to battle it down to try to win another one here at the IDGC?
It would be great. I was very bummed whenever they took it away, however many years ago. And I was so happy whenever I saw it was going to eventually be back here. So hopefully it's not very long before we're back here again.
What's the next big tournament that you have your mind set on that you're really ready to attack this year? Doesn't have to be Jonesboro, but is there another tournament this year that you really want to go after?
I think like everybody else, it'd be the World Championships.
And we get two practice rounds at that kind of, you know, we get DDO this year. And then following up. So you do get a little practice at it.
Yeah. So maybe DDO and then, you know, coming back the second time for Worlds. I'd kind of forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Final question I had is as your star continues to brighten, right, we just touched on it. You've won two majors. You've won other events. Does this kind of thing, this off course obligation to talk to the media and to do those sorts of things, sponsor appearances, does that ever get any easier? Does that become just part of the job? Is it something that becomes more and more part of your routine? How is that going at this phase in your career?
It's going better now than it was whenever I started doing it. I was terrible at talking. I was terrible even talking to other people. I was one of the most awkward people you'd meet. So the more I do it, obviously, the easier it gets. I mean, I'm still going to mess up. Everybody is, but it comes with it. It's going to get easier.
You and me
Pro
both,
the sport,
man.
Right?
Yep, that's it.
You and me both, man. All right, Chris Dickerson, winner of the inaugural Champions Cup.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
A little PDGA news for you on this, the 19th of April, 2022. Of note today, the first update to those PDGA US Tour rankings. It's out today. This is a great opportunity for you to check those rankings out and see how the various points of input interact to get those final results. Calvin Heimberg up three spots. He's back in the top five where so many believe he rightly belongs. Five spots up for Drew Gibson. He is at ninth. On the FPO side, Valerie Mondujano is up six places. She's also in ninth place. And Kat Murch up 11 spots to break into the top 20. Lots of other people in the rankings, some for the very first time, including several European players who have now played enough events on the US Tour to be able to calculate a ranking for them. So check it out. Find your favorite player. Let us know who you saw and why you think they are right where they belong, or who you think might be on the way up. Let us know. Let's keep it positive too, shall we? At PDGA Radio on Twitter.
don't know about you, but this has been an incredibly long, jam-packed week. So I'm ready for a nap. You're ready for a nap, but we are moving on to the next tournament. Thank you everyone for listening and tuning in, and look forward to the next one.
I'm getting some food first.